Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Thank you, Dave Solomon, very much. Rain kicking in at the window. You may hear this over the next couple of hours or so. It just started, but you know what? Grateful for it today, and here's why. Did you ever have a situation whereby the construction workers were in your neighborhood and they disabled the wiring? That's happening all over this village today, and we're not real happy about it. You gotta hire the right people for the job. This is what happens when you tear the sidewalks up. You're not really careful about the wires underneath the houses. Woo! We've gone offline now, what, 3, 4, 5 times today. It's been crazy. Let us hope and pray that all of that is out of the picture and concentrate on some great music, first of all, in this hour. Next hour, Daryl F. Walker. Yes! Vocalist extraordinaire, and I do not use that descriptive word lightly. He is just amazing. Saxophonist, percussionist, composer from East Bay Soul, and that is why we want to get him in, because I'm telling you, this summer tour is crazy for EBS. So true funk soldiers, get ready for Daryl. 2 hours today, 2 hours tomorrow, 2 hours on Thursday, and we'll tell you more about that later. Let's get into a classic, shall we? Bobby Timmons from 1960. Dat Dare on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you.
This is Hybrid Jazz.
Drifting by.
Isn't that beautiful? Whew, that voice is so magnificent. Anne Hampton Calloway is the name of that lady. Kenny Barron loves to work with her. Singer, composer, pianist, actress. If you remember the TV show The Nanny, do you know the theme song? Anne Hampton Calloway. She is actually a multi-platinum artist who has composed songs for Barbra Streisand and does Barbra Streisand shows. She is amazing. This is from The Traveler, Kenny Barron's album back in 2008. Anne's birthday just passed on the 30th of May. I thought it would be wonderful to hear Clouds, which have burst today in Baltimore. I'm thinking of these songs that convey some sort of motion or travel, hence The Traveler, or trains, which you'll hear from momentarily, a sense of going someplace, because my son is leaving here. Immediately when the show ends, we're off and running to the train station so that he can visit his dad in Florida. So Mama Bear has mixed emotions today playing this music. Woo! Oh, and by the way, you heard Kenny Barron twice. You did. He was with Dennis Angel, the song that was in the middle of that set. Soul Strut is something brand new from trumpeter Dennis Angel. If you want to know more information, go to DennisAngelBand.com. This is a very intriguing set of circumstances for this artist. Juilliard, law school, involved in motion pictures, and wanting to convey a sense of what Blue Note conveyed in the 60s. Yes. So that was the whole premise behind this song and others that he had done in 2012. Gottfried Stoger on sax. I am not familiar with this gentleman. Gottfried Stoger on sax. James Genus on bass. And on drums, Edward J.T. Lewis. Real nice stuff there. And I love the idea that this particular artist, who has been so involved in contemporary jazz, got together with Kenny Barron and created this wonderful sound that combines a few different elements that throws you back to the past. I love it. We also heard from Bobby Timmons, a couple of ways you can hear the song Dat Dare. The original came out in 1960. Bobby wrote the song. Later, Oscar Brown Jr. penned lyric for it. Son of a minister, Bobby was from Philadelphia, awarded a scholarship in school, and one of those cats that got involved with other greatness, Art Blakey, Cannonball Adderley, Kenny Dorham, Chet Baker, Lee Morgan, and died far too soon, at the age of 38. 1974 was the date of his passing. He had the original on the 1960 album called This Here is Bobby Timmons, and then he did a live version. You heard the live version, and just a very cool song. Very much underrated pianist, and breaks my heart when I read the story. We've discussed this on the show time and time again. None of us can understand. There are many people who do, but to have been a jazz musician in those days when you were packing houses. You were greeted with love in many instances, but you could not drink from the water fountain, and you could not eat in the restaurant, and you could not stay at the hotel. So when you contemplate that, it doesn't take a whole lot to understand that there were very few who were unaffected by that, women and men. The women got involved in, to be quite truthful, promiscuity, going from man to man because they wanted to feel worthy in this life. And the men felt less than men, so they turned to drinking and to drugs, and some of them went to other countries to flee what was America in the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. Until things turned around in the 60s, and now we see don't want to get down this road too much, but we see this sort of Pandora's box opening anew. If you look at the headlines and then beyond the headlines and see what's actually happening in some states, you start to wonder, and you never want to let history repeat itself. So I was thinking about all of this when I was looking at Bobby Timmons' background, especially feeling so protective about Philadelphia artists, because in Philadelphia, we should have known better, because we were in the North and we weren't fighting that Confederate war anymore, but it didn't seem to make any difference. If you were an African-American jazz musician or vocalist who lived in Jim Crow times, I mean, that's why I really loved the idea of getting legends on the show. I did notice, and people who listened to the show with Ron Carter understood this clearly, Ron Carter does not necessarily want to talk about those times and is very sensitive about certain expressions that pertain to those times because he saw friends go under, never to be seen or heard from again. So I really do get it. But, man, to talk to somebody who has been through that, that's monumental. All right, now, we'll stop. We'll go back to fun and music and get to somebody right here that we've had on the show, a fascinating individual. He really is. Just found out recently, and thank you to Paula Phillips for making sure we got the CD. Al Bear, an exceptional guitarist and composer and promoter in Australia, who has actually been given a few awards for his outstanding service in the way of music contribution to that country. Albert is going to be at Bethesda Blues and Jazz in our region this coming Sunday. Won't be able to be there, and it just kills me because when you have these multiple events happening on the same day, you can't be in two places at once. I'll be with David Bach and Andrew New, Crosstown in Towson. We'll have them on the show tomorrow, by the way. But this is Al Bear, something brand new from a CD called The Road Ahead. This song is called New Signs. See, I told you about the traveling thing, stop signs, new signs, train crossing. And Daryl F. Walker joins us next hour on Hyper Jazz. This is so cool. Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Correteando quiero dar un poco más de lo que soy. No me voy a quedar mirándote así.
Beautiful Neo Vere, Cuban-born, now living in France. The song is the same title as the song that is the title. Let me see. The song is the same as the title of the CD that came out in 2008. There has been new music since then, though. This is Quierme Mucho. Wanted to make Daryl F. Walker feel at home since he sings in a bilingual manner. Neo Vere is very interesting. Apparently, it's common in Cuba to name your children something that the parents made up. So Neo Vere knew just one other person who had that name in all of Cuba, and she chuckles about it now. I don't think it used to make her too happy. She is a vocalist, a guitarist, actually a multi-instrumentalist, and quite a unique background, a unique kind of beauty that has lived in not only France, but Madrid and Greensboro, North Carolina. She must have moved there for a guy, because if you have lived in France or Madrid, you don't go back to North Carolina. I'm just saying. She has a distant, she never knew this kin, a cousin to her grandfather, Pablo Cuivado, who apparently was the Cuban singer in the 1930s. So she's got this pretty elegant bloodline, and I'm very intrigued to know more about her, and I will in the days to come. Actually, I found out about her through a source that gives me mucho information, as a matter of fact, and that is the record label called Putumayo. Jazz Around the World has been a real source of terrific music, and they do variations on a theme. They have women in jazz. They have different jazz from various countries. And if you get a chance to look at their catalog, it's really amazing. So, Neo Vere, spelled N-I-U-V-E-R. Very intriguing. George Benson from 1974. Bad Benson. George is so bad. He not only took the A train, but he had the A-team on that record. Ron Carter, Steve Gadd, Phil Upchurch, and Kenny Barron for a third go-round here on Hybrid Jazz in 1 hour. Yay! Billy Strayhorn, of course, wrote that song, and Duke Ellington made it completely his own, but George Benson on that guitar has a new flavor entirely, doesn't he? He's going to be at the Temecula Wine Festival, actually Temecula, California, the Thornton Wine Festival, happening on Flag Day, June 14th, and then at Playboy Jazz that weekend. It's going to be smoking. We also heard from Al Bear, the amazing guitarist who has a background that's mysterious. Born in Morocco, raised in France and Israel, and now he's in Australia, had been the head of the Melbourne Jazz Festival for quite a while, beloved in Australia, and got a chance to meet him a couple of years ago and play his music, and now there's brand new music from this very cool CD. Listened to all of it and was absorbed in it, The Road Ahead. He wanted to delve into jazz, and I wanted to delve into jazz, too, so I'm really tickled that he and I were on the same page. New Signs is the song that you heard. I just found out that Albert, I was wondering why he was wearing the particular glasses that he was wearing. He wears them because he's got a rare eye ailment called Stargardt. That affects the central vision. I did not know that. So I have found out about Albert and our good friend Geneva Renee, who has to undergo either one or the other kinds of procedures to get her vision corrected. So could you keep both of them in prayer if you do that, or send some good wishes, good vibes, whatever you do, Albert and Geneva Renee. And again, Albert is going to be at the Bethesda Blues and Jazz Club in Bethesda, Maryland, on the 8th of June. We have Daryl F. Walker, woohoo, coming up at the top of next hour. And I know it's a two-hour show. 2 hours again tomorrow. 2 hours on Thursday. Tomorrow at 1 o'clock, it will be Andrew New and David Buck. We might have a guest at the 2 o'clock hour. I am finding out if she can do this. So keep your fingers crossed. Then on Thursday, it will be Allison Crockett, who has a magnificent show coming up on the same day as East Bay Soul. Yes, Allison's going to be at Blues Alley on Father's Day. East Bay Soul is going to be at Ram's Head in Annapolis, Maryland. Tour schedules for East Bay Soul are crazy. Allison, because she is a one-woman show in more ways than one, great mother, great composer, great singer, just absolutely exquisite. She is a bustling kind of lady who does a very popular blog, so for her to get out and about is a big deal. So if you are into the most soaring and bold and politically charged at times lyrical content from a female that you could possibly imagine, Allison Crockett is your girl, coming up on Thursday. All right, let's do a few more songs, shall we? I wanted to get to this one. Iris Ornig is a German-born bass goddess, also a composer and arranger, very well respected, based in New York City now, and she had an album out a couple years ago, No Restrictions, that featured Marcus Gilmore, Helen Sung, Kurt Rosenwinkel, and this amazing creature who was able to bend notes and interpret songs in a new way. And she likes to get quirky. So she took, and this is the correct pronunciation, I just heard this lady from Iceland pronounce her own name. It's Bjork, not Bjork. Or as some folks say in the U.S., Bjork is Bjork. Iris Ornig does Venus as a Boy, and that's what you're about to hear on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you. Hybrid Jazz. Seriously, that would be all that he would need to do each night is to sing that song, and I'd be good. I would not ask anything more than for Daryl F. Walker to sing that song or any song to me, and life would be most excellent. Really, oh my God, that voice. Woo! And I have to thank my friend BJ White for the introduction to Daryl F. Walker. I do. I have to do that. And I know that there were a couple of more people involved, but the person who sold me and then showed me why she was sold, she gets the prize, if indeed I had one to give her, because when I heard Daryl sing with East Bay Soul, I thought to myself, wait a minute, how old is this guy? I had not seen him. So when I heard him, I really thought that he was a very much older man who had been around in the 60s and had learned how to be great from being in the right crowd. Turns out that he's got the soul of one of those old legendary guys from back then. He just is a throwback to what was absolutely fantabulous in the 60s when so many of us were coming up and hearing music out of the radio from Motown, or hearing those summer songs that changed our world. The soundtrack of our lives songs. And then I hear Daryl F. Walker and I go, well, he has nailed that, hasn't he? Hold me. The name of his EP, the song that you just heard, and I got to tell you the personnel, written by Daryl and Celo Loyo. Background vocals, Daryl and Rebecca Jade. Electric guitar, Fred Clark. Flugelhorn solo, Greg Adams. On drums, Chad Wright. And keyboards and programming, Kevin Florney. Now, I hope that's right, because I know a gal named Marcy Florney, and she pronounces her name that way, but it looks like Flower Noy. Now, on this EP, and I'm stalling for time because I have to wait for the man to call, and hopefully he has figured out that 3 p.m. Eastern time is noon Pacific. We've gone over this. We'll see. Oh, he has a few songs on here that were done by others, and others in this particular situation by James Ingram and Michael McDonald, Yamo Be There, and also Hard Habit to Break that was done by Pete Cetera and Chicago back then, a song that I could not hear, and it took Daryl F. Walker for me to want to hear the song again because it was just too painful to hear. Well, it's 2 minutes after the hour, and here's what we're going to do. We'll play another song. And this is one of those songs, honestly, when you hear it the first time and then the second time, third, fourth, it's the same. It's what you want someone to say to you when times are tough, but you never want to hear it being said when it's too late. You know what I mean? Oh, and there he is. It's okay. We won't play it. We won't play it because the man is here, and I've already waxed poetic. And gosh knows this is not the first time that I've done this for Daryl, because anytime I get to play one of his songs, I am always talking about how much his vocals are set apart from anyone else's that I know, and that's for real. And Beach knows that. Beach is in the chat room. She knows how I feel about Daryl. Vocalist, percussionist, saxophonist, composer, done so much work on multiple labels, done so much work with other people. Greg Adams thanks his lucky stars because of the day he found him. Because as Greg relates the story, he was just about at his wit's end. He wanted to find the just right vocalist, a person whose vocals popped like back in the days of Tower of Power. He wanted to find that excitement, that much soul. He was really depressed at this point, and he was ready to throw in the towel. And Andrea Adams said, no, I've got another tape for you. I want you to hear this one. His name is Daryl F. Walker. And Greg said, all right, let me hear. And he heard, and Greg said he became almost a new man when he heard this vocal. So you just heard what Greg felt. And without further ado, after I've just built him up so much, and I'll do it again and again, Daryl F. Walker. Woo-hoo!
Boy, oh boy. You know, I should carry you to every show.
You should,
thank
and
you so
I'll get
much.
You.
That was beautiful. That was wonderful.
hey, you don't know the times when you do not hear me on the show talk about you, because seriously, Daryl, when I first heard you, I thought you were at least 30 years older than what you actually are.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yes, because you sound like you took me back to a time when I was a teenage girl on the beach in Ocean City, New Jersey, and hearing the best music from the radio. Your voice did that to me. I thought of Billy Stewart. I've told you this before. You are a throwback to what was great.
Oh, thank you so much.
You are
welcome.
That
is an honor, because those are the people that inspired me the most. You know, I have to say, and I don't mean any disrespect, but today's the music that's on the air today in terms of pop music and what have you is just really uninspiring, and it's all about sensationalism and seems that there's a lot of shock value. Let's see what we can do to get the most attention. It's
yep.
really not about talent, and that's really sad, because there are so many talented people that are training themselves, you know, getting the education they need, getting the experience they need in the club circuits and on whatever live venues they could, you know, they can. And then you have this other stuff going on. It's just, it really is an insult, because it's expensive, time intensive, and a sacrifice to do this the right way, in what I consider to be the right way anyhow. And that being the education, the private instruction, you know, the instruction in the school, the conservatories, if you go that route, and then actually getting out there and performing it and finding out who you are as an artist and you know, dealing with all that, spending the money, making the recordings and hiring the musicians, and then somehow miraculously finding money to promote the thing as well. And then you have to compete against that, and it's really an insult. And I know a lot of people, particularly in the jazz world, who have relocated. They've gone to places like London and Paris and places where there's more of an appreciation for true artistry.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you said a mouthful. And actually, one of the elements that you just mentioned bears mentioning, back in the days of Motown, in the early days, they got it right on so many levels, because you basically, Berry Gordy knew this, when the stable of talent was coming into Motown, they were kids off the street, so they had to be groomed, not only mm-hmm. musically, they had to be trained in a customer service sort of way, they had to be trained in the way of making sure that it was teamwork when an ensemble was called for. They had to be given some sort of direction as to what to wear, and they've got all these live musicians in these recording sessions, so the music popped. And then the subject matter, Daryl, and you can relate to this too, was about courtship and romance. You know, I'm thinking about Junior Walker and the All-Stars, What Does It Take to Win Your Love? It wasn't salacious. It was romantic. It had a feel of love, and what the bottom line was that you were looking for was that special relationship instead of a one-night stand. You know,
Sure.
So much has changed, but you brought all that golden thinking and that golden sound to my ears anyway. And if I'm speaking that way, then I speak for many, many more. So God bless you.
Well, God bless you for appreciating it, because without people that appreciate that kind of dedication and coming from that particular viewpoint artistically, what are you going to do? You're just alone with your thoughts and your music. But to have people that appreciate it and that seek it, That's a wonderful thing, and that to me is the validation for the whole process and for doing what I do the way I do it. That's what fuels it, you know. It's an inspiring thing, and I'm one of those people that when I sit down and decide to write a song, I usually collaborate, because I'm not a piano player and I'm not a guitarist or anything like that, but I like to work with people that have that skill and they have the insight of how it is or what it is to write with a singer, because you have to be really sensitive to the nuances that a singer brings. It's not the same as an instrumental kind of thing, because a singer has to interpret not only music but language, you know, verbalization and emotion as well, you know, so it's a little bit of a different thing.
Yes.
And it's nice to have people in my group of close friends that inspire me to do my best work, because that's when I write, when I'm inspired. I'm not one of those people that would sign a publishing deal and just crank out endless amounts of tripe, you know, just songs.
Oh, right.
I have to be inspired, otherwise it's not going to be done. That's why it took me so long to even get to this point where I decided to be a full-time musician. I had to feel that this was right and the time was right, and there you go.
Well, timing is everything, and sometimes you've heard the expression, people lament that they didn't have maybe a break years ago, and this has been a topic in inner circles anyway, not necessarily on the show, but I have often thought, because I'm so fascinated by this now, you know, we can't lament about things that didn't happen years ago, because quite frankly, most of us weren't ready for those breaks years ago. You have to be ready to accept everything. One of these celebrities has said you have to be in a position where you are ready and stay ready, because when success comes and it has come to you, you have to have the maturity level to be able to handle it.
Absolutely.
What if this had happened to you, Darryl, when you were 25?
Well, it did, in fact. My first foray into the music world was with Taboo Records and Motown as a distributor. Well, first it was A&M Records as a distributor, and then Motown needed a new CEO, so they came after Clarence Avant, which is the person that signed the band Identity Crisis that I was in at the time.
Okay.
And he moved over to Motown and took over the CEO position, but at the time that he moved over, he also brought his entire music catalog, which included the band I was in. And we knew at that point the guitar player, who had worked with several artists under the Motown moniker, he told me at that time, he said, "We're done. It's dead. It's over." I said, "What do you mean?" He says, "The day they took this out of the hands of A&M Records sealed our fate." He goes, "Motown does not have the expertise to work with this band because they don't know how to deal with what we do." And what we did at the time was rhythm and blues, but we had a mixture of Spanish and English lyrics. So it was to do an English verse, a Spanish verse, you know, and that kind of thing. And it was unique because no one was doing that at the time. It was in 1994. And that, needless to say, never did go anyplace else, because they shelved it. They didn't want to work with it. There's this process in the recording business that, you know, once you have a project that a label is interested in, you have to be willing to, as a new artist, give up the publishing rights and essentially allow them to have ownership of everything.
Yeah.
And in so doing, what you're doing is you're, hopefully, if it all works out for you, securing a place for yourself in the world that people can see you and know who you are, and then the next time your negotiation comes around for a new contract, you either get a better deal from the label you're with or you seek a new label. And, you know, that taking everything is what your payment is in consideration for all that, because if you don't look at it that way, you're going to be very disappointed.
Man.
So anyhow, there was nothing that they could get from that project, because it was started with A&M as a distributor, and it was finished. Everything was done. The videos were shot, and everything was ready to be, let's just say the torpedo tubes were flooded, and the finger was on the launch button. But it just never came to fruition, because there was nothing that Motown, the new distributor, could do with it without, you know, I guess they didn't feel like there was anything they could take. There was no payment that could be made, or any. The contract was rock solid. they didn't want to deal with it. In fact, Gerald Busby, the person who was running the label at that time with Clarence Avant, the general manager, I guess, he approached us after a performance at, where were we? House of Blues. And we were opening for War, I believe. Yeah, we we just finished our set. Gerald Busby came backstage and asked us, well, if you guys were to do a new record, what would you call it? And we looked at each other, we do a new record. We've spent a whole year doing this, and we would call it this. And he said, oh, okay, and then he left. Well, that was the end right there.
Really?
What they wanted to hear was, oh, well, we could call it whatever you want. What do you, you know, we could start tomorrow or whatever. He was wanting us to pretty much walk away from the project we just finished that we had so much invested in and start something else because they wanted to, a piece of it.
Oh, man. You know, and this is why God made unions.
I guess I'm telling you this long story to kind of illustrate why it took me so long to get into this. I started an aerospace career shortly after all of that mess when it didn't work out because I really had a bad taste in my mouth for the recording industry, not music industry, but the recording industry.
Sure.
As far as music was concerned, I always did it because I loved it, so there was no problem there, and I continued to perform live music all over the state, you know, at that point. And any vacation time I had, any sick time, any holiday time, I was booking myself and going and doing things. So I stayed active all throughout the 22 years that I was in aerospace, but there came a point at which, and you illustrated this in your write-up about today's show, that my calling was calling me. You know, it was time for me to make a decision about who I am, what I'm doing, what my purpose in life is, and it was to sing and create music that people really want to hear. And the reason why I'm inspired to do it is because what I get out of it when I step onto a stage is I feel this instant energy and connection when I start singing, and it really inspires me, and it causes this thing that you've seen, because you've seen a live show.
Yeah.
And it just I take on this whole entirely different persona, and it's a good thing. It's just, to me, it seems like a really powerful thing to me because it transforms me for a while, and I go really deeply into my soul, and I open it and bear it for everybody who's in the room. So then there's this connection that takes place because of the appreciation factor.
Oh, and yeah.
The combination translates into some crazy thing where I'm just doing things that I didn't even really think about before. You know, it just happens. It's an organic process, and I love it.
I completely understand what you're saying, and to further flesh out what you've said, I really do think that because you took a break and you got involved in a whole different scenario where you met our good friend BJ White, who's in the chat room, hanging onto your every word, by the way.
BJ is an amazing human being.
Yes, she is.
What a smart lady.
I told her that if she wanted to call and say hello to you, that she was perfectly welcome to do that. But you know Beach.
Absolutely.
You know how she is. She's
yes.
A little shy sometimes. It's because you took that big break. You were frustrated because of the circumstances in the music business, and it's because you gained a whole new appreciation while you weren't doing music that when you came back to it, Daryl, it was like a brand new beginning for you, and now you appreciate everything. You love being on the road. You love the one-to-one with people. You love the fact that you transform on stage. I just wonder, would it have been the same had you been doing music all this time and not having that break to gather your thoughts and thinking, I want this so badly. How can I make it come to pass? And you made it come to pass again, and here you are.
It's very crazy. I mean, you know, and I hear this similar story from other people I know. They've had other things going on while they were trying to to carve out some sort of niche for themselves in this this business. And they say similar things. Oh, yeah, some say, oh, I was a waiter, or I was a this, or I was a that, or I did this or that. And I always say, well, you know, even back then when this wasn't working, I was in aerospace at that point, but I was trying to find a way to leave that world and enter this one full time. And that was the vehicle I thought would make that possible, but it didn't work out. So luckily I was smart enough not to to burn any bridges, and I just continued working until it was time to do something, and the opportunity came up. You know, when Greg Adams called me and asked me to participate on that first record with three other singers, because, you know, he'll jokingly tell people that in his mind, singers are the third sex.
That is so interesting. That is a Greg Adams quotation.
Yes. The Greg Adamsism. It is true, because in a lot of circles, and I've known a few people like that, and it's not gender specific either. It's women, divas, not men being arrogant, egocentric morons. It's not that. It's just this thing that some people do, and this is not only common to just singers. It happens to most instrumentalists that are featured as the main person, you know, or the front guy, as you want to call it that. Some of them, and I say some because it's not true across the board, but some of them, their egos get to a point where they lose complete contact with the purpose and the reason. It's all about them at that point, and everything they say and do reflects that, unfortunately, and a lot of it is negative, and a lot of it is hurtful to others, and a lot of it is, I think, destructive. It's sort of a self-destructive way of doing things. And having seen that for many, many years, from the time I was in the 80s when I was on the club circuit just trying to get started in this business, I watched a lot of that. And it's funny, it seemed to me the people that were doing it the most were the ones who had the least amount of talent and the ones who were the most insecure.
Right.
It's funny how that works. And so I'm looking at this going, you know, if I ever make it, if I ever really do something in this thing, I don't ever want to be like that. I don't want, it's stupid. And then I start asking myself, why are these people doing this? Why are they doing the music? If this is what it's about, then they don't even understand what a gift this is, what a privilege this is. It's an honor, actually. You know, when you get people to come out, give of their time, the most precious gift in the world is time, and of their resources, hard-earned resources that they're at work every day earning, to come out, to spend time with you, to hear your music, and then hopefully purchase some while they're there. You know, they're going to watch your show and maybe buy your CD if you have it available. Those two actions are probably the highest compliment you could ask for from people.
Oh, yeah.
And the fact that they come out and do that, I always take a time, you know, there's a point in my shows where when I'm doing my thing, now Greg does it too on the East Bay Soul stuff, but on my shows I also make a point of acknowledging the audience for being there, number one, and for giving of their time and resources to support what we're doing. And it's a very important thing to say, because you want that connection with people. You want them to know you care. You want them to know that you understand what they had to do to get there, and you appreciate it. So once you say that and you know, make that sentiment known, then it's all about, okay, they're with me now. Because if you say it and you mean it from your heart, you make that connection and they're with you. From that point on, it's going to be a great show, because they don't just feel like they're being thrown into a retail world and, you know, and treated like, you know, just another number or another person watching another show. You know what I mean?
Oh, I do. And see, you see it from a few different perspectives, because you know what it's like, for example, for maybe a single mom to make the decision, I really want to see Daryl do this. So making arrangements for a babysitter, making sure that there is an allotment for how much you're going to pay the babysitter, making sure that you get the wheels to get there, making sure you have money for dinner and a drink or two. All of that comes into play. And for folks who have been through, and we're seeing certainly, we're seeing light at the end of the tunnel over and over again now, but for a while it has been a struggle to make sure all of that fits into the puzzle of consciously making the decision of seeing somebody that you really want to see. So you know that everybody there at your show wants to see you more than they want to see mostly anybody else.
And it's like I say, it's the highest compliment. I mean, I can't even tell you. It's the one thing that, in my experience anyway, it allows me to do what I do even better than what I believe I can do, because you see this, you feel it, and when they see you, they want to hug you and greet you, and it's just amazing the people I've met over the years, specifically the last 6 years. They're really good people. They all really love good music. They love the singing. They love the horn. They love the band. It doesn't matter what band I'm in. They, you know, whether it's Greg's, mine, they give of themselves emotionally. And that, to me, I feed on that, because when I'm on stage and I feel that, it allows me to push way beyond any comfort zones, to push way beyond any predetermined or pre-rehearsed ideals of what the show is going to be. I take it to another level, and it's because of that energy and because of that gift that comes from the people that are there.
And meanwhile, they're thinking to themselves, I can't believe how much this artist, who I respect so much, cares about me, because you honestly exude that more than most artists that I know. You have a sense of customer appreciation, customer service, and I'm particularly sensitive about that because my dad was involved in customer service for over 40 years at Philadelphia Electric. So he would constantly impart to me how important it was to make sure that people were acknowledged. You do that without taking a second breath. It's part of your nature, Daryl, and that's why people love you so much.
Well, thank you so much, and I feel it too. I really do, and I return it as often as possible. And all I can say is the appreciation, I can't even express it. So what I do is I just, when I feel inspired, I do the best I can do, whether I'm singing live or I'm in the studio. And let me tell you, it's amazing what happens when you feel that, when you have that appreciation and that fan base and people that you know, want to come out. Some of them are regulars. I see a lot of new faces, you know, as I'm going through and starting this whole thing. And it's great to meet new people. It's awesome to see the ones I already know. And it's really cool with regard to the ones I already know to see them at the performances, because the relationship just gets stronger and deeper as we go along. And it's nice because I try to be as personal and as approachable as I can, you know, within reason. And it really does make a difference in the way the performance comes across and how it's received. And it just allows the thing to grow. And I just want to thank everybody for that.
Well, look, it's getting to be the case where on this show there are lots of people to invite, but I'm very particular about who I want to have on the show. There's a particular vibe I'm looking for. There is a particular attitude, and I guess we're doing okay because we're nearing 108,000 listens, which is pretty doggone cool.
Oh, you think maybe you might
you
have
think
it right?
Maybe.
I'm thinking you might be doing something well.
Well, look, the whole thing is, look, seriously, and I know that we have probably talked about this. If we didn't, I'll pass this along. The intention is that my son and I are going to move to Florida to be closer to his dad in December. And I really feel that in that particular state, especially where we're going to go, the groundwork will be laid for receptive ears to feel like this show can be a full-time radio station.
Oh, that's great. Well, yes. Anything I can do to help you achieve that, just call.
Well, you know I will, because if we're going to have a launch party, guess who's going to get invited? Oh, man, are you kidding? Yeah, you should have never said that, Daryl. Oh, yeah, it's a treat to have you, and I know that we've been doing this a couple of times, and there will be a few times more. We're going to get to your itinerary after the song. I wanted to play a second song, and then we'll play a third before the end of the show. But I have to tell you how much it means, and I know that you had said that there are songs that you wrote. Some songs were written by others. This particular song was written by Kevin. I really like the whole feeling of how you put the lyric into song of See You Through It All. That song must mean something
yes,
to you.
Yes. That is a very wonderful song. Kevin Flournoy, an amazing producer, amazing jazz piano player, R&B piano player, soul piano player, great composer, arranger. He, in fact, arranged most of my EP. Greg Adams did some arranging on the Chicago tune redo, Hard Habit to Break.
Oh my God, Hard Habit to Break. Oh, the song that kills me, God.
I almost broke the bank on that one, because to get that level of production, we had to use three studios, and it was really nice to do that. And Greg offered to do an arrangement. He said, no, I want to do that for you. I said, no. Well, as it turned out, he showed up, and he brought Lee Thornburg along because I asked Lee if he could do it. And the two of them, we just let Greg do what he does, and he walked in with a horn arrangement, and the two of them played flugelhorn, and then Lee broke out his valve trombone and added a low brass. And let me tell you, we stacked those guys, and they sound like a whole horn section, just the two of them on that song. And they did it so well. I was really, really happy with the way that turned out.
Oh, yeah.
But that was Kevin. He was the producer and the recording engineer on that one. And he also brought this song that you're talking about, See You Through It All. And at the time that we decided to put this on the EP, it was very fitting because it fit right into the theme of the whole EP. The theme of the EP was about love. And this statement that this song makes is part of what I believe true love is about. When you really love someone, you will be there for them no matter what. And if they're having difficulty, you will see them through it all.
Yeah, and you know what? It's better to understand that while you have the relationship than lament about it after you don't have it anymore. Woo!
Yeah. No, it's true. You said that earlier about lamenting about what you can't, you know, things you didn't do. You can't live in the past. I've been understanding this more and more in my studies of my spiritual practice and all that, and you can't. You have to live in the now. You know, everyone's saying it because it's this big thing that people like the Dalai Lama and people like that are trying to make people realize you can't change what happened in the past. You can only affect today and tomorrow. So live in the now. Whatever happened, happened. Let it go. Live in the now. You have to live in the now.
I really do think that that's part of the popularity of the song from Frozen, Let It Go, because people are thinking of the deeper meaning of that song, even though it's one of those songs that are, it's basically for little girls, but a whole bunch of people have embraced that because it really is true. You can spend your whole life being bitter or caught up in what happened to you, and it makes no sense because you don't enjoy what is clearly in front of you. Oh, we could talk about this for days. But let's get to the song. Daryl F. Walker is here with us on Hybrid Jazz, and this is the beautiful, from the beautiful EP, Hold Me, See You Through It All.
There was a wave from the start and made it plain to see just what we go through. Yes, I would do it all again, throw my caution to the wind for your love, just to keep the fire burning.
The same question that I always ask after a song of yours has ended: where am I? Because that's what it does. Oh, Daryl F. Walker, and See You Through It All from Hold Me. Daryl, thank you for that, really. Thank you. Is he there? Is he there? Oh, he's not there.
You are very, very welcome. Thank you very much.
See, you didn't know where you were either.
You know, these buttons, I'm telling you, mute this, mute that. But,
right.
No, I love where music takes me, so that's what everyone sees, where it takes me. I just kind of go where I'm going.
See, now, Beach just typed in the chat room, do you need a towel? Oh, you rascal. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. See, you go somewhere. I've seen you, and I assure you, when you and Greg and the guys were playing Ram's Head a couple of years ago, it just doesn't seem like that long ago, but it was 2012. Seriously, there were so many who understood how special that night was because, first of all, you hadn't played that venue before, and people knew the name of Greg Adams with the Association of Tower of Power, but hadn't mm-hmm. seen East Bay Soul and may not have been acquainted with many of the people in the band. And when you sang, I mean, I saw the room, Daryl. People were just transfixed because they had not counted on being that affected by a vocal performance. So they came mm-hmm. to have fun and went away spiritually filled. It was like that.
That is, see, that's exactly what I set out to do, and that's so cool when it happens, because that's what's happening for me. It's a spiritual thing for me when I'm going through those songs, and you know, I like to say interpret. That's the word I like to use, because you take a song and you could do exactly what happened on the original recording, or if it's your own song, you could do it the way you conceived it, or you could just let it just organically happen. And that's what I try to do. You know, I try to honor the arrangement, whether it's my own or someone else's. But at the same time, I like to take it somewhere where it is a spiritual experience, where it's not just another person singing a song. It's like this journey that takes place. And when I see that has happened, I can't even tell you how it affects me. The only example I have is a video of a concert we did at the Potomac Seafood and Jazz Festival.
Oh, yes.
Not long ago. That's a prime example of that journey that I take, and then how it can affect people and me too, you know.
And that was the young girl, correct?
Exactly. The young lady, the autistic lady. And I didn't even realize at the moment that I saw. See, I could tell there was a presence off to my right because I saw this person standing there, but I didn't know how close she had gotten. She walked over right to the front of where I was standing and was standing there and just transfixed, like you said. And then I looked at her and I went, oh, man, there's someone standing there. And I saw her and I said, I need to help do something here. I need to engage her in what's happening. You know, the crowd's into it, but I want her to feel like, you know, she's being noticed and she's important. And so that all took place. But it did
well,
a big blessing for me, too.
You know, I have some experience in this department. The cool thing about autistic people in varying elements of their autism under that spectrum, whether they're severe, moderate, or high functioning, is that you pretty much get the truth at every scenario. If there's joy, there is no joy that's held back. So what
mm-hmm.
you saw in that video was her joy in hearing
yeah.
you. She had a personal chemistry with you. And I'm telling you, that girl today will still talk about you. She'll be talking about you for years.
Oh, well, let me tell you, I made, you know, friends with the family as well after the show, and they communicate with me from time to time. They send photos and all kinds of stuff, and it's really nice, you know, to be able to positively affect someone's life. And if it came through the vehicle of being a live performer, then so be it. But it was just a good opportunity to get out there and to provide something for someone. You know, it was just, it's funny, you don't think about it, you just do it. Once I recognized there was someone there, it was time to just react and just do it.
Yeah, because you had that voice inside of you. You're very intuitive. You pick up on vibes and you recognize that there might be another opportunity to have passed this way again. So you knew there was a voice that said, got to do it now. Got to make sure that she feels important. And that video really does say it all, doesn't it?
It does. It's a prime example of what we've been talking about, you know. I love those opportunities, whether it's for someone who's special needs or just someone who, and I told you this story, I believe, the last time we spoke on your show. I was at East Bay Soul, and I were at, where were we? Laguna Festival of the Arts here in California. And this lady approached me after the show was over, and she was crying, and I couldn't understand, you know, what was going on. And she said, "I just want to tell you, you saved my marriage." And I looked at her, and I went, "What?"
What?
Whoa.
Please clarify.
Yeah, please. It wasn't me. Someone
right.
Looked like me. But I listened to what she said, and she said that the Greg's song, Greg wrote this song, Someone New, back when he was with Tower Power, and just that song captivated me when I heard it. The first time I heard it was on the original East Bay Soul CD, and it was Tom Bowes that sang it, and he did an excellent job, and he just, with his performance and the way the song was done, I was just transfixed. And I said, okay, I want to do this song now. I have got. So I said, Greg, we have to put this in the show. We have to. This is like, this song is epic. And he did. He added it to the show, and we do it. And I did that song that day, and that lady said that she and her husband were at swords points and getting ready to get divorced. And then when they both heard that song, they both looked at each other. And they said, "I love you, and I love you, and I'm sorry," you know. And she walked up to me and said that. And I said, "Oh, okay. So it's because you heard that. Oh, well, good. Well, let me just clarify for you." I said, "I didn't save your marriage. You saved your marriage. You and your husband saved your marriage. You both got together and decided that you were both more important than whatever nonsense was going on. So the song was a vehicle to help you realize that getting a divorce was not what you should do." I said, "But thank you for recognizing the emotional thing that goes along with doing that song, and I'm glad you enjoyed it." And she said, "Can I give you a hug?" And I said, "Absolutely. Absolutely. You deserve one." So,
well,
that's just
here's what you need
example.
To have in your resume now. You need to have vocalist, percussionist, saxophonist, composer, and catalyst for positive change. That's what you need to have.
Change agent, yes.
Change agent, I love that.
Agent 009, change agent.
There you go, wear the shades. You got to pose with the shades on.
Oh, that's funny. No, it's just, you know, it's just that thing that happens between artists. And, when I say artists, I'm talking about the kind of people that I consider to be ambassadors.
Yep.
Because, you know, I always say it, people have heard me say it, and I will continue to say that an artist is an ambassador, and you have, just like you said, the people that took you back, you know, the people that you grew up with, you know, the ones you listen to, that
yeah.
you identify with, those people were ambassadors of their craft. They really were. They weren't doing this because of some egocentric thing. They really believed in what they were doing, and they were having a good time with it, and it showed in their performances. And I think that representing any genre of music is an honor and a privilege, and you should be an ambassador for it.
Oh, you definitely are, because I have seen performances when artists were actually looking at their watches to see what time it was going to end.
Wow.
And, oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yep, mm-mm. And that's why seeing you is just so different, because people give up a lot at times to get there, to get to be a part of the audience. And they want something from somebody who's on stage. They're not sure if they can articulate what they want. But
mm-hmm.
you come on stage, and they know that whatever you're given to them is what fuels them to want to go to sleep in peace that night and wake up the next day and go back to work.
Exactly.
That's
oh,
a big
true.
Deal.
It's
That's
huge.
A big deal.
And it has to be
yep.
acknowledged. I mean, for anyone to get on stage and just go through the motions, they don't deserve the attention or the resources of the people sitting in the audience.
Oh,
because they have lost touch with why they are there.
Yep, And
you're there for those people. You wouldn't be there without those people.
And people really do want you, who's on the stage, they want you to understand that what you have is a gift. If you don't recognize it as a gift, why are they there?
Exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
I know.
Totally
well, I can't believe there's only 10 minutes to this hour. So here's what I want to get from you. If you can remember all the places where you're going to be, I know that George Grund is in the chat room. He is anxious to see you at Spags this weekend, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, yes. I
and
can just
so is,
put
yes.
this in the chat room unless you want me to send it to you.
No, you just talk about it. You can brag on the venues because you're playing at some pretty high-profile places, young man.
Well, we'll
you
do
are.
That. I have it right here in front of me, so that's great.
Go ahead.
All right. The first, I have to get this document open, of course. The first place we're going to be at is East Bay Soul, that is. We will be performing at Catalina's in Hollywood, California. This
oh,
is a
yes.
new venue. Yeah, new venue for us. We haven't performed there in the past. So it's going to be one of those debut kind of things. It would be nice if that became part of our regular, a regular tour thing.
Oh, it will.
I believe so. I'm confident that it will because, you know, this is another thing about this band. Whenever East Bay Soul goes out, it's so professional and so well done and so enjoyable. The people in the band have a great camaraderie. It translates through the performance that everybody likes each other, gets along. And then the respect that we have for each other's talent is another thing. That respect
yes.
allows us to be good artistically together. That it's not about
yes.
any one individual. It's about the collective. And that's a huge lesson that a lot of musicians have to learn, and a lot of them don't ever learn because they make it about themselves. But in a situation like that, the strength of the whole is because of the respect of the individuals for one another. And that's
that is
why
very
it
wise.
Comes across the way it does.
Uh-huh. I
so
know
after
that.
June 6th, Hollywood, California at Catalina's. We will then go to Seal Beach and perform at Spaghettini on June 7th. There are two shows that night, one at 7 p.m. and another at 9:30. I don't know what the reason is for this because they don't normally do that at that venue, but for some reason they wanted to have two performances instead of two nights. So they're going to do both shows in one night. So
gotcha.
Whoever comes to the 7 o'clock show will then be cleared from the room and allow the 9:30 crowd to come in. Not the way I would do things, but that's, you know, oh well. That's business. Then after June 7th, we go to Boston, Massachusetts to perform at a favorite room of ours, Scullers. We're going to be playing
yes.
Scullers Jazz Club. And that is also a double show night, 8 p.m., and 10 p.m. Then we pack it up, move out to Wild Missing, Pennsylvania for Building 24 Live.
Yep.
And then we end the East Coast run at Ram's Head on Stage, Annapolis, Maryland.
On
your
Father's
neck of the
Day.
Woods.
Yep.
That's right, Father's Day, June 15th. After June 15th, we then reconvene at Jazz Alley in Seattle on July the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. So we'll be there for three nights
cool.
in Puget Sound, which is great. And then on July the 10th, we go to the AT&T Park for the San Francisco Giants. The horn section, the five of us, Greg Adams, Greg Vail, Lee Thornburg, Johnny Beaumont and myself, we will go and play the national anthem before the beginning of the game.
Oh, great.
That day at 12:45 in the afternoon. And then from there, we'll go to Oakland to do Yoshi's at 8 p.m.
That's wonderful. Gosh, that's wonderful.
And the
wonderful.
Final one is July 12th at Laguna Beach Festival of the Arts. It's called Jazz on the Green. That's the same place I told you about where that interesting interaction took place with the woman that said that her marriage was saved and all that.
Yes.
So maybe something grand will happen again.
Hey, look, Daryl is on the road to save marriages wherever possible. This is great.
That's funny.
Oh,
I have some stuff coming up with my band as well. My band is going to be playing in San Diego at a place called 98 Bottles.
Oh, yeah.
It is very near the it's in the Little Italy section of town. It's right next to the airport. It's on Kettner Boulevard, Kettner Avenue. And I've been there twice and sold the place out two times, and it's just amazing. It's a small room, but it's a very warm and receptive room, and it's intimate. You can get real close. And the show's always amazing, and it's just I'm looking forward to doing that again on July the 19th.
Awesome. That's great.
And there's another Spagatini date in the works for me and my dad.
Good.
So I'll let people know when that happens, too.
That's great. And we're so looking forward, those of us in this region, not only to see you in Wyomissing, which is actually Reading, where the Berks Jazz Festival happens, but also, you know, coming to Ram's Head. Folks who had seen you before are planning to come again, so we'll have a contingent there. And
that's
I
great.
Thank you, Daryl, honestly, for the time. There's a couple more minutes left. We didn't get to the third song, but I will tomorrow because I have another two-hour show tomorrow.
Excellent.
So all is well, all is well. Bless your heart. You know I love you and appreciate you more than words can say. You know that.
And I love you and appreciate you the same way, and all the people that you touch are wonderful and appreciate them as well.
Well, that's really something coming from you. And please rest. Make sure you rest that gilded throat, because each and every one of us anticipating seeing Daryl F. Walker on the road are coming because we need to have that kind of magic anew in our lives, and you're the one to give it to us.
Well, you know what? I'm going to bring it with me, so be ready.
Okay. And that has me a little scared but excited.
It's a good thing.
It's a good thing, I know. Thanks, Daryl. We'll see you soon, and we'll certainly be playing your music, that's for sure. Tell Greg and the guys hello.
I will. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Daryl. Talk to you soon.
All right. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, man. It's just tough. It's just really tough to say goodbye. We don't have the 4.5 minutes for Daryl's song, but hopefully we have a little time so you can hear some outro music. Okay, I wanted Daryl to get to the whole itinerary, because if you're listening either live or in the archives, you can plan your support for East Bay Soul. If you had a pen and paper and were recalculating what you're going to do on those dates, Los Angeles, Seal Beach, Boston, Wyomissing, also the Reading area, Yoshi's, Ram's Head in Annapolis, they're going to be in quite a few different places. So even if you're not right in the vicinity, you can make it a point to get a day trip or even a flight. Hey, you've got a little bit of time where you can make a weekend somewhere, doing something special, being someplace special, and making sure you're supporting one of the best bands on the planet, honest to goodness. Thank you so much to Daryl F. Walker, Beach, and George, and folks who have been floating back and forth, getting some messages on Facebook, getting some messages via tweet that I see now on my email account. Yes, Daryl is coming to where you are. We'll see you tomorrow with Andrew New and David Bach, and there might be another guest too. So thanks so much from all of us here who put it together on Hybrid Jazz. We're off to make sure that T gets to the train station. Wish us luck. We'll talk to you tomorrow. God bless.